Well, the scoreboard said I lost today, but what the scoreboard doesn't say is what it is I have found.
Welcome back to the Tennis Connected Studios for August 12th, 2018. I'm Nima Naderi alongside Parsa Sammy, and we're here this week to review the Rogers Cup from both Toronto and Montreal, as well as preview the Western and Southern Open from Cincinnati, Ohio. This week's podcast is brought to you by Grand Slam Tennis Tours. If you haven't already, make sure to hit them up for all your ticket and traveling needs to the upcoming U.S. Open. Let's introduce our co-host for this week. Parsa, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. How's it going?
It's going well, man. I was very well, and as I told you, I was really tempted to just call myself Stefano Tsitsipas as the today's co-host, because, first of all, it's really fun saying the guy's name, and second of all, the guy's got cool hair, and he's got nice facial hair, and he just absolutely rocked Toronto, and he captivated basically the entire tennis sphere here in the city. Everybody was all over the guy. And he's downtown, in Danforth, in Greektown, rocking Greek food every night and Taste of Danforth and doing all of that stuff. So he really embraced the city. We have a huge Greek population here. So they were out in full force supporting their man. And they had a lot to support this week. And we'll get into that in a bit.
You can see that, worldwide, you can see him people gravitating towards him. It's incredible. You can feel it.
And you can feel, and Parsa, you know what? We got to call it what it is, man. This guy's the new Guga.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He's not as loose. He's not, like Guga was like that Gumby guy. You know what I'm saying? He's like, and he's hitting the shots and everything. But this guy's, he's a
Flair.
Little bit, yeah, he looks the same. He's got the hair and the bend and everything, but he's a little bit stiffer, I would say. A little bit more control on the shots, but he's got the one-hander. He's got the same sort of vibe, I think, to him. He's got that beach vibe. And I've talked to him before a couple of years back at the US Open when he was playing juniors. So he's super relaxed, laid-back guy, just like Guga, very soft-spoken, just likes to keep to himself. But really, he likes to be, interactive with the fans. He gets it. He does good press conferences. And so, kudos to him. And, man, the guy had a heck of a week going down to Rafa today. But I'm telling you, man, he almost made a match of it. In that second set, I was watching it. He was getting torched. He was down like 6-2, 5-4. Nadal serving for the match. Rafa got tight. He came back, tied it up. He started, lacing his backhand again. And then Rafa took it to that breaker. And then his forehand started to come alive again. And then Nadal wins his fourth title in Canada. So
talk about those forehands. He had some nasty forehands there, Nadal.
Nadal, yeah. And we'll get into that as well, too. Before we jump into the men's, we'll save that for a second here. Let's talk about the women's. We had the world number one, Simona Halep, winning her second title in Canada. She took out Sloane Stephens, reigning U.S. Open winner. First of all, interesting because Sloane, flamed out in Wimbledon, and we talked about that. But way to rebound, great, really, I'm happy for her, and I'm impressed by her because she's really starting to put up some bona fide results on a consistent basis, which is really nice to see from her. With the U.S. Open, coming up in just a couple weeks' time now, which is really exciting, she's ready to go. And, it's good to see her putting up these results. I mean, Halep just gutted her out a little bit today. But it was a close one. And, you could see that going either way. I think, Halep just has a little bit more guile. I don't know if you can say she's got a little bit more confidence, but probably she does. I mean, she's number one in the world. Won the French more recently than Sloane has won the U.S. Open. So we'll see. I think it's going to be a big week for Sloane coming up in Cincy. Saying that, I think she got semifinal points to defend anyways. So she can't really do that badly here or that well here and then have that as a buffer for the U.S. Open. But I think all in all, she'll have some decent results at both events. and she'll go forward. But I thought, you know, it was a good event. I mean, Sharapova posted up a couple numbers. As we talked about, Kerber just absolutely played horribly going down early in Montreal. You know, another thing, a lot of rain in Montreal. So, I mean, Simona Halep was, you know, she put up something on Instagram where it's kind of like this falls challenge thing or whatever. She was on the ground in the gym. And she was playing like four matches in 48 hours. You know, I mean, just back to back to back to back. And it's just, and that's the problem with these outdoor events, that you're at the mercy of the heavens, right? If it wants to rain, you're done, right? We kind of had that.
Players and fans have been spoiled.
Yeah, exactly. Especially, but you know what though, with the changing climates, and we can see, like, look at all these heat waves all around the world and increased rain. I mean, Toronto, honestly, man, it's been like tropical weather. It'll pour for like an hour, like Miami, and then it's like sunny. You know, you would never get that. You would just either get consistent rain, like a drizzle, and then it goes away, and then one day it's sunny. But it's and the problem is, a tournament like the Rogers Cup or Cincy, you know, for a 1 week event that obviously is going to do well, but it's not at the magnitude of a US Open where people from all around the world are coming and making a couple hundred million bucks. They can't afford to put a roof on these events. And so maybe they can, I don't know, but it's probably that they can't. And
they should start with a shot spot on the outside courts.
Yeah. That's definitely a must. But yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that's where you can fall into trouble. And, you know, the players, like you were talking about off of air, you know, as we know, Nadal pulled out of Cincy, right? And one of the reasons is, you were saying, because I was there last night for his match against Khachanov, finished at 12:30 at night. By the time he does his press, he gets his massage, maybe does an ice bath on site, he gets back to the hotel, you know, that's 3 in the morning, right? You know, then he's got to get up, and he's playing at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And you know how Nadal is. He's got to get on site. He's got to do all of his stuff. He's got to practice for an hour and a half, whatever he's going to do. And then he's going to go play a finals of a Masters 1000, in which he won his 33rd today. And then he's like, okay, and now I played 5 matches here. You know, Cilic got a set off of me. Wawrinka was playing solid. Khachanov was playing okay. And Tsitsipas almost got that second set. So I think he got enough tennis. He's feeling good. He's going to give – it's going to be interesting to see if he stays in the States, goes back to Spain. I would definitely put my money on he's going back to Spain. And he'll probably, I think so. You think he's going to hang out in North America until potentially almost the middle of September? I don't think so, man. He's not that kind of guy. Like Federer, I could see him doing that. But right now, it's still Sunday. If he takes private jet back to Spain, he can be back in Spain tomorrow, right? And then that's a week of since he gone. You know, then we got Winston-Salem the week after, right? He's going to do, even if he gets down to the U.S. Open the Wednesday of the qualies.
I think he'd get here earlier.
Yeah, he probably, that's, you know. But, he, you know, a week off. Again, there's time zones. These guys know what they're doing. But I think, look, you know what? I'll tell you one thing about Rafa, man, right now, is that he's playing different tennis. He's hitting a lot more flat shots. And he's hitting, for those, I watched a bunch of his matches live, thankfully, and he's hitting a lot of return of serve winners now. Like, he's still standing back almost at the backstop. But there was a lot of times where he hit a lot of return winners off of Khachanov serve, you know, Tsitsipas. And he's not really known for that stuff. So if he can start doing that, and he was serving, he won 94% of his first serve percentages today, of his first serve points, pardon me. And that's incredible. I mean, if he can do that with everything else, I mean, he's got a heck of a shot of winning another U.S. Open, which would be massive for him, for everybody who's calling this guy a clay court specialist. Meanwhile, he's won the Rogers Cup 4 times. He's won Cincy once or twice. He's won the U.S. Open 3 times and the Australian Open. You can't call this guy a clay court specialist. Yes, clay.
He's a great champion.
Yeah,
that's what he is.
Clay is definitely his dominant surface, but he's by no means a clay court player. I mean, that's completely garbage. You got to call it what it is. So anyways, we'll get back to that in a second. But I think as an overall on the women's side, we got, I think, the information that we needed to get. I mean, I think that the players, apart from Serena, because she withdrew for personal reasons, she's back in Cincy this week. You know, Svitolina, we would say she's maybe a top 5, 6 favorite, even though she hasn't really done well at the majors. You know, we got Halep, who's number one in the world. Obviously, she's there. We kind of thought that Wozniacki is going to flame out, which she did. You know, and then you got Sloan, who's playing really well right now, the defending champion at Flushing. You know, she was right there. So I think with all that said, I think it was a very successful tournament in Montreal, except for the weather, which they have no control over, and that's what it is for that. So now as we get into the men's, as we talked about, massive week for Tsitsipas. He took out, who did he take out? He took out Thiem. He took out Djokovic. He took out Anderson, and he took out Zverev, who was very bitter after his loss. And it's like, you know, what the hell was up with Zverev, man? Just take it like a check. Okay, it's a pathetic match, this and that. Okay, man, I get it. You know, you're an all-star. Everybody's saying you're going to be the next number one. But have some class, you know what I mean? For me, that was a major turnoff. Like, even a guy like Kyrgios, he's not going to go there out. Like, even if he acts like a moron on court, he's not going out there and saying that he, you know, he played like garbage and then his opponent didn't even play well. I mean, this guy beat four top 10 players in a row. And he almost took the second set off of Nadal. The guy knows what he's doing, man. That's called. And then the guy made semis of Washington last week, finals of Barca. He's up to 15 in the world. So obviously the guy is okay. And he just turned 20 today. You know what I mean? So we'll see. We'll see how that transpires. But I mean, you know, what else struck out to you here? I mean, Delpo, another wrist injury. Maybe preventative though, because I did see both of his wrists taped up under his wristbands in Los Cabos last week. So, but a lot of times players also do that because it stops the sweat, you know what I mean, from going down their arm, because it's so humid that the wristbands will do something but not the whole job, right? So they have to go even to the next level on that. But anyways, he had that. We'll see how Delpo turns up this week. I think it's going to be, I mean, obviously if he pulls out of Cincy, then US Open is going to be a major problem for him there. Cilic, I thought, played really well against Nadal. His Achilles, his forehand, very wristy, that let him down. Joker, for me, was the big one, Parsa. What did you think about Djokovic? I mean, he went down to Tsitsipas, and, I mean, is this a cause for concern as it pertains to his U.S. Open campaign in a couple weeks' time? What do you think?
I don't think so. I think what is the cause for concern is, you know for sure he's not the dominant Djokovic of the past, but I think he's still in the process of building himself to that point, and I think he's vulnerable, and I think Tsitsipas, you know, what he really showed is that he's got the game, you know, to be a top five, if not a number one player in the world in the future, and he's got a lot to learn, but he's got that kind of potential, and so if it comes together against a certain guy, and the guy's a little bit off like Djokovic can be in trouble, so I wouldn't read too much into it. I think a best of five is going to be different. I think if they play at the Open, Djokovic wins that match.
Yeah.
You know, not too much. I think that things can turn very quickly. You know, he doesn't even have to win this one in order to be a contender or a favorite at the U.S. Open.
No.
It just you know, hopefully someone else wins this actually, because I'd love to have six solid favorites going into the Open.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Now, Parsa, after just this one week now of like a major tournament, right? Who would you put as your top three favorites going into the U.S. Open? We won't get into five yet. We'll do that next week after Cincy because we'll have more information. But right now, who would you call on the men's side your top three favorites to win in New York?
Yeah, I would go Nadal, obviously.
Okay.
I would say Djokovic.
Okay.
And I've got a three-way tie for third.
Okay.
And it would be Federer, Cilic, and I think Zverev could be in a position right now.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, he believes that he should be there. Now it's just a question of if he can do it, right? Like, I mean,
and he's got the fitness. You can see his body is definitely expanded.
Yeah, he's starting to fill out. Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it's just a matter of time. And he's kind of like a pricky, what that post, you know, sour grape, cocky guy. But this is perfection for the young guy who believes he believes he's Federer, but he's not Federer yet. So, you know, he's got that, you know, tennis is very funny. These people are very funny. Federer says the same thing, like, you know, he won't necessarily directly knock someone, but he'll say, oh, I didn't play a great match. Or if Serena says there or something, they're like, oh, you're a great champion. You can say it. But Zverev says it, and you're like, you're a young kid. You're an idiot. You know, who are you? You know, so it's, and I get it. But, like, you know, the truth of the matter is he's a young kid. He just lost a tennis match. He felt like he should win, and he didn't play well doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Pissed off. So move on, you know, and should, will he learn from it? I'm sure he'll learn from the experience, but, what do you take away underneath that? I see a guy who believes that he's the better player and that this is a huge monumental upset in his mind. And that's big because that motivates you at that level.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, the one thing, though, that I will say about him is, especially after watching him, because I haven't watched him live for a bit, his forehand can get a little bit hairy. He chokes up a little bit on the frame, which... from a technical perspective, with, I don't know if it's, I mean, he's a big guy. So he's got, you know, those levers going into the shot. Obviously, his swing arc is going to be, you know, a great one. I don't, like, there's some issues with his forehand. Backhand is, I mean, out of this world. Serve is incredible. He moves very, very well. Volleys have become technically sound. I mean, obviously, he's, you know, training with his brother who's got awesome volleys. But his forehand, to me, is not one of the best forehands in the world. And when we look at all of these great players, the Nadals, I mean, Nadal's forehand today was, I mean, he, even on match point, he smashed that inside out one, like, Federer in his pomp when he was right at the top. You know, even Djokovic, he's got a little bit of a, can be a little bit of shaky forehand, but he can clock it when he's on. I don't know. I mean, I think we got to watch for that part. So let's see how that, you know, goes forward in Cincy and in New York. But I mean, you know, it is what it is, and it's going to be a good tournament. I think Cincy's going to be good. Too bad Rafa just pulled out, but on the men's side. But, you know, we'll get into that draw in a second. So, Parsa, let's jump right into the women's draw in Cincy and break this one down. So, we got it's led once again. We got all the cast of characters here. We have it led by Simona Halep as the number one seed. She's got Muguruza. Ostapenko, you know, Barty, who's been playing some good tennis as of late. A lot of lucky losers, a lot of qualifiers in this section. I count five right here. We got my girl Danielle Collins. Let's see if she does anything. I don't know. I mean, I think from what I'm seeing here, even though she's coming off of a back-to-back, I think, you know, with Darren Cahill in her corner, she wants to be that workhorse number one, you know, not the most talented or whatever, but I definitely am going to go with Halep to make the semifinals in this first quarter. What do you have?
Yeah, I see it a little bit different. I think she's going to be fatigued.
Okay.
And I think when she's fatigued, I think her emotions will get the best of her.
Yes, that's a good
point. And I look at what's the one player that can get her emotional. And I see Ostapenko there. Fast courts. Her ball will have a lot of value. I think she's going to be clubbing the crap out of the ball. And so I've got Ostapenko in this section for that reason.
Okay. Very good. Moving on to quarter number two, we have Kerber, who, again, we don't know what the heck happened to her in Montreal, but she was not there. Madison Keys back in action. Pliskova, who has previously won this tournament, she's got a tough first rounder against Radwanska. We got Konta. We got Azarenka. We have, you know, Garcia. A lot of great players here. Pavlyuchenkova. Whew, this is a very loaded quarter for me. I have this feeling that Azarenka could do something. Really like her demeanor. I mean, deep down inside, I don't think anybody can tell Azarenka that she, you know, still can't do it. And still can't, you know, come out here and do some damage. And I don't know if you saw it, Parsa, but Nike's starting to do some promotional stuff, getting ready for the U.S. Open. And on their IG feed, their story, you know, they it's from Wimbledon, but, I mean, obviously they're trying to gear it towards the U.S. Open, but that's where they filmed it. And at the end, they're just giving some tips to fans. And then, you know, she was like, believe in yourself and just go out there and play like a champion. You know what I'm saying? And that's kind of what she believes that she is. You know, she's a two-time, obviously, major winner in Australia. And so I like her vibe, man. I think she's got the right idea. Is she ready to go right now and do some damage? I'm not quite sure as of yet. For that reason, I'm going to be going with Garcia to make the semis here. What do you have?
Yeah, I feel like this is the rise of the Americans here.
Yes.
And I know Madison Keys is coming back, and through a difficult draw, I can just see her navigating through her favorite hard courts. And although humidity may be an issue, I think that she's going to want to make a little bit of a splash. I think she'll be motivated, and I actually think Madison Keys is coming through the section here.
Yeah, and I would love to see that, because I'm a big fan of Madison Keys. Again, really like her vibe. She's a great girl, and I always wish her all the best. Going on to quarter number three, we have Kvitova again, who I picked to make the semis last week. I got three of the four right with Halep, Sloane, and Svitolina, but Kvitova let me down pretty early there. We got Serena Williams back in action after missing Montreal with some personal reasons that a lot of people know about, which was very justified, I think. Got a couple of lucky losers. We got Georges, who made the semis of Wimbledon. A couple more lucky losers, qualies. And then we got Sloane Stephens. Is she ready now to go deep again in this tournament and do some damage? Or, you know, you made a fantastic point, which really threw me over the edge in picking Serena. And I said, you know, is she going to do something here? And you said, you know what? She has to. And I'm like, okay. So 1 + 1 = 2 for the most part, right, Parsa? She has to, plus Serena Williams, for me, equals success. And for me, you know what I'm saying? So with that said, I'm going with Serena into my final four here. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I couldn't agree more with you. You know, for me, Serena Williams is, she has to, otherwise the U.S. Open's in jeopardy. So she can't go out first round, and I'm not sure she'll allow it. She may not play well.
Yes.
But I think her demeanor will be there. Her mindset will be right. And I mean, we'll see. But I think it's going to be Serena as well.
Yeah. And as we move to the fourth and final quarter, this is where I could see some stuff happening. I mean, obviously, you know, Svitolina for me is the favorite. Wozniacki has some stuff to prove, even though she's number two. Coco Vandeweghe is another American, definitely going to be looking for, you know, some good results. We have Maria Sakkari, who recently made the finals in San Jose. We have Osaka, who is the big, you know, big hitting Japanese player. We have Kazakina, who's again a great player. And then what's this lady's name here? Amanda Anisimova, right? That's that yep. Young, that's that young American girl who's always on Instagram going crazy. I think, I mean, for me, I mean, she could do something here too. She's a very talented young lady. But I think this for me is my little bit of that wild card section where I'm going to take some risks. I'm going to go with Osaka to do some damage here and make the final four. With all of that said, with everybody else, what do you have?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a little bit more steady here.
Okay.
And I think it's actually going to be Svitolina.
Okay.
I feel like she put a couple of good matches together last week.
She did.
I think she's going to build on it this week. And I think she's going to try to announce herself as a contender for a slam. And although she's always flames out early, I think she has relished in these Masters Series type events. And I think she's going to take advantage of her draw and her opportunity here. I think it's going to be Svitolina in the bottom section here.
Okay. So, Parsa, so I got Halep, Garcia, Serena, and Osaka as my final four. I'm going to have Halep taking out Garcia. I'm going to have Serena avenging her loss earlier this year, I believe in Miami, if I'm not mistaken, to Osaka. And then I'm going to have Serena taking out Halep and really stamping herself as the player to, if not beat in New York, to do some damage, definitely be number one, too, and show off that new off-white collaboration that she's going to be debuting with Nike, which is, I think, going to get some tremendous buzz because New York, if anywhere in the world, is a place to do it. So what do you have going as your final four, final two, and your champion?
Yeah, so I've got Ostapenko versus Keys in my first semifinal, and I think Ostapenko is going to continue her run, and I think she gets to the final here. And I've got Williams versus Svitolina in the other semifinal, and I think Williams plays the match of the year for her, which isn't a lot of matches, but I think she's going to play terrific by that point. Yeah. And I think Williams is going to win that match, and it's an Ostapenko-Williams final. And I think it's going to be very difficult and very hard, but I'm looking at something like Williams 7-5 in the third.
Yeah, and it depends on the conditions, right? Because Mason can get toasty. And from what I remember, it's not one of those places that has like super rain either. It's not like,
who knows what the way the weather
is. Yeah, right now the weather patterns are a little bit psycho, but it's definitely, you know, anything is possible. Okay, so now as we move forward, we know that Rafa Nadal just won Toronto. He will not be playing in Cincy, which is definitely a bummer for everybody. We got Milos Raonic hovering, so I guess there's, as we said, there's going to be a lucky loser that's going to jump in up there, right? Somebody who lost in qualies, highest remaining seed. We got Raonic, who got, you know, toasted by TFO 6-1 in the third. That's a terrible loss for Milos. And don't get me wrong, I love TFO. He's an awesome kid, but you got to win that match, man. You're playing on your home, you know, your home court. You got to do something there. But that's a great match right there, man. TFO Shapovalov, first round. And then so you got that. You got Edmund, who won today. Easy match against Mackie McDonald. You got Djokovic, who's going to have something to prove. He's playing Steve Johnson tomorrow night, 8:30. Anybody looking to get some tickets? Mannarino took out Cicinato earlier today, 7-6, 9-7 in the breaker. So he's through. And then we got Dimitrov, who won a couple matches. But again, still not a believer, man. I think that for what he's supposed to be, he's really not even close to being what is there. So I think, and he's defending champion. Grigor Dimitrov is the defending champion of this tournament. So you got to get ready to do some damage here. He's got Zoomer or Zverev in his first match. That could definitely be tough. I mean, he can lose to any of these guys. He's going to take out Joker in the third round. That's going to be tough. I don't see him. Max making the like third round, I don't know, but I think I'm definitely gonna go with Novak to make the semifinals. What do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree. You know, for me in this section, it's Novak is the form guy, the guy who's form, and he won Wimbledon, but yet you don't look at him always as that dominant figure yet, because anything can happen. Everyone's scarred by what he's done the last couple of years.
Yeah.
But I think you know, he's ready to rebound, and unless someone is super hot like Tsitsipas was last week, I think it's Djokovic through here.
Okay. And moving on to quarter number two, we got Zverev. Let's see what his personality, you know, looks like after last week. He's going to have something to prove for sure. We got Karina Busta. We got Isner, who's back on American soil, playing his good buddy Sam Querrey. That's going to be an interesting affair, to say the least. And then we got Cilic, who played really well against Rafa. I mean, again, if his forehand didn't get those hiccups, he's got that wristy forehand again, I think maybe he wins that match. I mean, he blew through Nadal 6-2 in no time. And then, I mean, Nadal, like, he was going to lose that match. And Nadal just kept fighting and just what he does. And then he ended up winning. But I like what I saw from Cilic. Again, I've said this now for a couple years. This guy's playing with house money. You know, he's feeling good. And if he's on, I mean, he's hitting that ball early with such a high, you know, swing position, because his off the rise is excellent, because he's like 6'7". You know what I mean? So it's easy for him to hit that ball. So for me, I'm going Cilic into the semis. How about yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting section, to say the least. I think the guy here is, you know, Zverev.
Okay.
Yeah, he's maybe not a nice guy. Maybe he's a little arrogant, a little cocky, and a sore loser. That has nothing to do with the way he strikes the ball.
No. Nope.
He's got next level backhand, next level movement, next level serve. Is a competent volleyer, and he does. You're right. He has some tendencies with his big wingspan to his forehand to spray around, but you know, I think I'm looking at a lot of short rallies here in Cincinnati, and I think he's got the firepower to do it and to match it, and I think he's got the motivation. So for that reason, I got Zverev.
Okay, and as we move to quarter number three, it is led by Kevin Anderson again. Even though he lost to Tsitsipas yesterday, super close, he had a match point. I mean, you gotta love what this guy's doing in the later stages of his career. The ultimate professional, like basically a big version of David Ferrer. I mean, he's just going out there and just maximizing himself and throwing every inch of ability and time and effort that he has into his tennis, and he's seeing the rewards of that. He's coming in as the sixth seed of a major international tournament. So, you know, kudos to him. He's got either Chardy or Verdasco up in his first match. We got Ferrer, who just announced that he's going to be retiring after. So the U.S. Open is going to be his last major, and he's probably going to retire after Barca or Madrid next year. And then we have Tsitsipas. Let's see how he rebounds. He said today in his post-match presser, which I attended, Parsa, that he's super looking forward to playing David Ferrer in a couple of days. Sorry, David Goffin, his first-round opponent. So, I mean, this guy's got the right idea, right? Like, you're just making the finals of the biggest event of your life as a just-turned 20-year-old. Birthday's today. So happy birthday, Steph. And now he has to get on a plane tonight or tomorrow morning, get to Cincy, which is not a crazy flight, but then get acclimated to those conditions and then take on Goffin, who just lost to Milos in the first round. So you know he's going to want to be playing well. And Tsitsipas is going to be coming in. But who would you favor there just quickly, just in that quick first round match? Goffin going to win that? I think so.
Tsitsipas has never done it before. So it's hard to say that he's going to be the favorite, but he's definitely more informed.
And
Goffin's got more question marks. So it really depends how he acclimates himself. It's beautiful to be 20 years old, I'll tell you that. I'm going to go like 55-45 for Tsitsipas here.
A long time ago for us, my friend. And then we got Nick Kyrgios, who, you know, he's Nick Kyrgios. That's what I'm going to say from now on. And then we got Borna Coric. He's got Medvedev. That's going to be a tough one. Got Jack Sock, who is playing really bad tennis right now. He's playing against Chung. And if Chung is healthy, he's definitely going to win that match. And we got Delpo, who is a question mark for me because I was all about Delpo last week, right? But then he pulls out. He practiced in Toronto, and then he withdrew because of a wrist injury. But was it preventative? Was it because he was sweating and he had those tape, you know, tape on his hands? Is he doesn't want to play consecutive weeks? He's like, okay, I'll play Cincy, another week off. Because he played Los Cabos, then he didn't want to play Toronto. Play Cincy, week off, U.S. Open, defending semifinal points. Is that the mentality? Maybe. Obviously, if he plays this event and he's okay and he loses, we're okay. If he has to withdraw, then there's, you know, some alarm bells. Any way you slice it, Kevin Anderson, for me, into the semifinals. Fourth and final. Sorry, Parsa, your pick before we go on.
Yeah, I've got the favorite Nedeiri pick here.
Yes.
You know, the guy who's always due, and we never can tell what the heck is going to happen. I feel like it's a strange section, and I think something strange is going to happen. So I've got actually Nick Kyrgios coming out of here.
Defending finalist. So he's got 600 points to defend here himself.
So last courts, motivated. Say, you know, it's a relaxed place, it's a chill place in Ohio, so I think Kyrgios will do well.
Yeah, for his sake, we hope he does. And as we move to the fourth and final, we got Dominic Thiem, who actually withdrew from his doubles tonight with the flu. We had a cold or something, so we don't know how he's going to turn up for this event. He lost his first match to Tsitsipas last week, so he's not playing well at all. He's been losing a lot of early round affairs, really has done nothing after the French. We got Federer back in action. What is Federer going to do? We have no idea, right? We haven't seen him since his 5-set loss to Kevin Anderson. That's been a while. It seems like, you know, a lifetime ago at this stage. So he's got a lot to prove playing in the States with his new, you know, Uniqlo kit. Tough match. I mean, he could be playing Andy Murray in the third round. How amazing is that, right? And then Thiem, maybe, you know, you got Wawrinka here. You got a lot of these Grand Slam champions who I've been injured coming back, a little bit older now. Nishikori, who could have, for me, that's my dark horse in this section. If it wasn't for Federer being still number two in the world and being rested by taking off of Toronto, I would probably take Nishikori. But because Federer has all of those variables that I just mentioned, I'm going to be going with Roger Federer to make the semis here. What do you have?
No, I was listening to you run off all those names, and you're like, this one and their ex-Grand Slam, the coming off of injury. That just sounds like Roger's going, what's wrong with you? Is it your knee when you move to the right? Okay, yeah. Here we go. You're going to move to the right for the entire match. You know, that's just, you don't want to have anything of any sort of doubt against Federer. He'll just pick it apart. The guy's just too much class, too much champion going on over there, and he loves those courts. He plays well every year there, for the most part, and I think this year's going to be no different. Federer is the 7 here for me.
Okay. And so as we finish off this week's show, Parsa, we got our final four. I got Joker, I got Cilic, I got Anderson, and I got RF20 as my top four. I'm taking Joker to attempt to win the only Masters 1000 that he has never won, to make the finals, to be opposite of Mr. Roger Federer, who he's subsequently lost to on a few occasions. It's going to be Joker-Federer, marquee final next Sunday, with Fed taking out Anderson in his semi, and I'm going to have Federer winning this tournament and proving that he's still got what it takes, and then, you know, flying into New York in your neck of the woods in a few weeks' time to see what he can do there. What do you think?
Well, first of all, he's been here. He was training out in the Hamptons.
Oh yeah, nice.
Yeah, with Mirka and all the kids, they rented a mansion, I think, and he trained out here.
Who was he hitting with?
For a week or 10 days. What was that?
Who was he hitting with? Do you know who he was hitting with?
Yeah, he was hitting with a American junior, Will Blumberg.
Okay.
Who plays for UNC? He actually won the NCAA 2 years ago. And he was playing with, there's one other player he was playing with, as another, Patrick Kipson, who, Kipson went to Kalamazoo, which today was the boys' final.
Yeah.
He actually ended up losing in the quarterfinals.
Who won Kalamazoo? Was it Nakashima, that Nakashima kid?
No, I believe Brooksby won. I haven't looked at the final. He was up 2 sets to love last time I checked.
Okay.
So, you know, and Jensen Brooksby is only 17 years old, so he'll have another shot next year as well. So,
okay.
As is Nakashima, he's also 17. So, a different kind of year at Kalamazoo for all those who've been listening every year that I go.
Yeah, you're there every year, huh?
Yeah, so it's a different one this year. I think feel like the draw was a little bit weaker.
Okay.
I still think Federer is the guy.
So whoever wins this is into the U.S. Open, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Oh, it's great. It's also a best of five final.
Okay, and then if you declare yourself as a professional, you get to keep the prize money.
But Kipson lost in the quarters. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But if you declare yourself, if you're still a junior, then you don't get the cash.
That's right.
You just play the tournament.
Yeah, Jensen Brooksby did go on to win.
Okay. So who did you say is winning Cincy on the men's side for you?
Did you say? I have in my draw here, I've got Joker Zverev. I got Joko moving through there.
Okay.
I've got Kyrgios Federer, and I think it's going to be a barn burner classic, 7-6 in the third.
Perfect.
For Federer, and I think and then Federer's going to turn around and beat Djokovic pretty badly. I think it's going to be like a 4-3, something like that.
Okay. And there you go, and there you have it. Okay, tennis fans, so Parsa and I will be back next Sunday to review Cincy before we take a week off and then get back at you for our U.S. Open preview. In the meantime, make sure to hit up Grand Slam Tennis Tours for all your ticket and traveling needs to the U.S. Open, as well as check them out if you're in the Vermont area for the Stowe Mountain Lodge Classic. Parsa, thank you very much for joining us this week, as always.
Thank you.
Thanks everybody out there for listening. Make sure to follow Parsa at Parsa Sammy, both on Instagram and Twitter, myself at Tennis Connect. You can also download this podcast on iTunes. Thanks as always for listening. Hit us up with any questions or concerns if you have. Email us or tweet us, whatever you want, and we will get right back to you.